One satisfied customer said, "I heard about Lightstream on the radio, and I'm glad I had the courage to reach out and try their service. I was skeptical, but it was top-notch customer support and service, streamlined process, no issues or regrets, and I'm happy to recommend the service to everyone." That could be you if you apply today. And you can also get a special interest rate discount. Just because you're listening, you get to save even more. The only way to get this discount is by going to lightstream.com/danb. It's lightstream.com/danb.
Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/danb for more information.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents, which means you're going to start telling your kids to clean up before the cleaning lady comes. Doesn't make sense, but you're the parent and they're the kids. You're going to start telling them that now too. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. And there's your opening to remind them who pays the bills around here. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Switch to Sprint and get our best unlimited deal ever. Four lines of unlimited for just $100 a month. If that's not enough, we're throwing in four Samsung Galaxy phones on us. Shop from the comfort of your home at Sprint.com, call 800-SPRINT-1, or come see us in our stores.
Phone after $35.42 per month credit for 18 months credit. Apply within two bills. If canceled early, remaining balance due. Unlimited basic after 7/31/21. Pay $35 per month per line with auto pay. Data deprioritization during congestion. Coverage and offer not available everywhere. Excludes taxes, fees, and roaming. Speed maximums, use rules, $30 activation fee, and restrictions apply.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Doctor's Log, Helldate 2020. Right now, health and medical industries are feeling the pressure of the COVID-19 outbreak. Doctors are feeling that pressure. Nurses are feeling that pressure. I'm definitely feeling that pressure. And so I wanted to capture some of this journey. It's a log of this scary adventure we're all on together. I'm Esther Chu, MD, and this is my Doctor's Log. Go subscribe on radio.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, our radio.com sports station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their new website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Again, you know, I think we owe it to everybody on staff to get to Chicago and meet them face to face. I think we owe it to our players to hopefully get to evaluate them in practice settings, playing settings, you know, and we owe it to our staff to see them in those types of settings as well. I just think it's far too early to make any of those types of decisions. With respect to anybody on the staff, you know, until we get to Chicago.
A non-committal Mark Eversley in his introductory May 1st teleconference when he took the reins as Bulls general manager, the number two under VP of basketball operations, Arturis Karnišovas. Joining us to talk about this coaching search, maybe, is Joe Cowley of the Chicago Sun-Times. He is on Twitter at jcowleyhoops. He's on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Hello, Joe. How are you?
Good. I just want to thank teachers for the job they do without putting their hands on my kids, because it's amazing that my kids haven't had their head, back of their head smacked in school and in learning.
I am.
That's my public announcement.
Well, appreciate it. I know that my kids' teachers are doing just unbelievable work as well, and how they're administering the tests and keeping up on everybody and sending us emails as to make sure we know what work is being done. It's the fact that so many people have adjusted to this so quickly on the fly, and I also know how lucky those of us are who assume that we have high-speed internet access and enough equipment at our disposal. Because one thing I know that Chicago Public Schools has been dealing with, the vast number of kids that don't have access to a laptop or to a tablet and don't have internet. And it's just, it's one of these things where you're reminded of what a luxury it can be for some of us.
Yep, absolutely.
So what's going on now with the Bulls? Is there a coaching search going on?
I wouldn't say there's a coaching search going on. The ideal situation, I think, is Arturis and Mark Eversley are both would love for somehow the NBA to allow facilities to open, allow some kind of interaction with coach and player so they can say, hey, we respect Michael Reinsdorf and Jerry Reinsdorf and John Paxson's opinions on Jim Boylan. We were able to actually sit down and put eyes on him and watch his interaction with players, or whether it's 5 games or 10 games, just some kind of sample size where they can say in our assessment, it's smart for all of us to kind of move on with an entirely new coaching staff. That's the ideal situation, because I think then they could say we fairly gave an evaluation, as small as the sample size was. It wasn't a full season. It wasn't 20-some games. It was this amount. But in our estimation, we need to move on from a coaching staff standpoint. But I don't know if they're going to get that. I think once the NBA officially makes a decision, then the front office will make the decision. And from what I'm hearing, the decision is going to be that they're moving on from Jim Boylan and the coaching staff. And there's members of the coaching staff right now that feel that way, because there's a couple that I know personally that have already checked out or already looking on other jobs, other scenarios, other places they can go. So they kind of feel that the decision's made. Jim feels like he is trusting the word of what he was told before all of this and throughout all of this that he will be coaching next season. So you have a guy that's hanging on to that the powerful people up top have told him, we would like you back, but it's not our decision. He's hoping that he can twist that, talk to guys, present his side of the argument, and come back next season.
See, that the active role that Boylan is playing in trying to save his skin, and I don't know if it tells us he's actually fearful despite what he's saying. I mean, that press release that we talked about that he sent out welcoming Arturis Karnišovas was just a clown show in and of itself. And, you know, I've been told that behind the scenes, he's doing what he does, which is just trying to jawbone the market. I mean, he's always been a successful politician. It's how he got the job in the first place, was able to earn trust that maybe wasn't even deserved by his you know, his actual coaching, that he's been able to survive a long time by talking about the people with whom he's been affiliated, talking about benches that he's been on, but there really hasn't been any track record of individual success. So as you reported, there are players who are making their opinions known. Is this informal discussions? Is it formal discussions? Are the players sitting down in actual virtual meetings with the new higher-ups, or is this just chatter?
This was Zoom meetings where players were openly allowed to talk about the coaching staff with Arturis and Mark Eversley and vent their frustration or sing the praise of the coaching staff. And unfortunately, some key members gave the thumbs down on Jim and the current coaching staff and would like different voices above them. So, one of the names was kind of surprising to me. The other ones, I think, are the usual suspects and the obvious guys in this. So that doesn't bode well for Jim, and simply because of two things. The winning percentage, however you want to spin it, whatever excuses you want to use, this is a pass-fail business. And this is an organization that at one time said Tom Thibodeau's winning percentage wasn't good enough because they deemed a team that was flawed a championship-level team, and Tom didn't get him past Cleveland and LeBron, and so that sealed his fate. So if that's the bar, then you have to hold Jim to that winning percentage. The other thing that's damning to Jim and the coaching staff is Eversley and Arturis have both come out and said, we are a players-first organization. And if they're a players-first organization and a players-first front office and the players that are key guys that are locked in, that they deem important pieces in this, are not happy with the coaching situation, that has to be heard and there has to be reaction to it. And so both of those things really are damning to Jim Boylan and this coaching staff. And this isn't a situation where, from what I've been told, where, yeah, there's a couple guys on the coaching staff we'd like. This would be a complete house cleaning, maybe except for one guy. So that's why I think you have assistant coaches that are smart and have a good feel of this already calling other organizations or calling college institutions and saying, hey, this might be happening. What do you have for next year for me?
Is the one guy Chris Fleming?
Fleming might be the guy that's saying yes.
Because I've always heard really good things about him. And he goes back to, he's got a European league connection. Germany? I believe he and Karnišovas had, there's some crossing of paths there, no?
Yeah, he does have some international background. And is a guy that, before the Bulls even hired him, was pretty highly regarded as an up-and-comer, kind of an offensive thinker. I don't know if we necessarily got to see a Fleming influence on this offense this year, because unfortunately I think they handed everything over to analytics and just did what the analytics told them, because there was a lack of leadership at the top and there wasn't the thought of, hey, analytically, yes, this makes sense, but do we have the chess pieces to pull this off? That was always my disconnect with the offense that they tried. It was appeasing an analytics department that Michael Reinsdorf was patting on the head, so let's just go ahead and try and run this offense, even though it doesn't make sense with the personnel we have.
Now, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'll tell you also what I heard that was going on. That you mentioned the appeasement of the NBA not considered one of the bleeding-edge analytics departments, let's put it that way. I was also told, Joe, that Fleming was keeping his powder dry regarding how actively he contributed as an in-game assistant, where it would take a village to steer Jim Boylan, to keep him on the road, essentially, in a game, where a more active assistant would have been able to be in his ear all the time and telling him how many timeouts he has, or who has fouls on them, or when the opponent is making a substitution, and that Fleming chose to not do that. One, because it would be nearly impossible, and two, because it's one of these things where sometimes you're better off just letting a guy show who he is, and that might be better for your long-term future, and just do the long play that way. And that Fleming understood that it just wasn't worth all of the Sisyphean effort of trying to help Jim Boylan actually coach a game properly.
There's some truth to that, but I think the bigger picture of what we're dealing with was, you had a coaching staff, an assistant coaching staff, that immediately knew at the beginning of the season that any sets that they like, any philosophies that they like, are not going to be heard. That they are going to stick to this offense, which is based on the analytics. And even if they like something or don't like something, it doesn't matter. The keys of the car were turned over to the analytics department, and Jim was going to carry out fully what the analytics department deemed the smart offense to run. So, I mean, does he fall under that of purposely saying, okay, let's give Jim some rope and let him hang himself? I don't know if it was done with that intent. I think the assistant coaching staff was frustrated knowing that any philosophies they had, especially on the offensive end, weren't going to be heard, because this was the offense that was going to be run. This was the offense that was going to appease ownership, and any ideas they have, be damned.
I may not be the smartest man, but I think if we connect the dots here to what you're reporting and how you're reporting it, and we actually hold Eversley and Karnišovas to their words about being player-focused, about what they say and what they have said at length about what they expect and what they want and the importance of winning, and the fact that we've got players now in official meetings breaking bad on their coach, he's toast on a stick. This is over. And we thought it had to be the case. I am more confident than ever hearing you flesh out some of this reporting that, regardless of Jim Boylan's boundless blind optimism, that if he is coaching somewhere else, it's going to be on the back end of some other NBA bench, or maybe even in college, because this can't. I mean, based on everything we're hearing, everything they're saying about who they are, unless they're lying or they're stupid, there's going to be a change. That's the conclusion I'm drawing.
Yeah, I think I think it's how going about it. How can we do the exit strategy of this where we say, hey, you know, we're the new guys. We understand that. You've empowered us. We understand that. We've heard you. We respect your the way you feel about Jim and what you feel his coaching chops are, but we have done our research and you've empowered us and we are saying no to him. So I think it's just a matter of, wouldn't it be great if we can open up the building and actually see him interact with the players and actually put eyes on everything and then make our decision more fitting to what you say, hey, we like this guy. You know, they just want a clearer exit strategy, and I don't think they're going to get that. I just don't think the NBA is going to open up the season and say, hey, yeah, let's knock off these last, whether it's five games for the TV money or the 15 for – I just don't think you're going to see that. So they're just going to have to say, you know, we've done our homework. We've done our research. The winning percentage wasn't where it is. We have these players saying, these key players saying they don't want Jim back. And there's other some other behavior, too, that I think has been known to them and been flushed out with this coaching staff that is damning to Jim's future and as head coach of the Bulls. And so I think all of that is enough right now where their decision is made. They're just trying to figure out, how can we do this where we say, you know, Michael, you know, Jerry, you know, Pax, we respect your opinion, but this is why we're doing it.
We've heard the names as potential replacements of Ime Udoka and Adrian Griffin being floated because of their connections and their reputations around the league, both very, very solid. I think Griffin really checks all the boxes and is the kind of person who would be absolutely ready to be that player side kind of head coach. What do we know from Denver and from Toronto about how Karnišovas and Eversley view the construction of a staff? Because there are different ways to do it. Sometimes you have essentially an offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator. Sometimes you've got a big man guy, a development guy, a point guard guy, on some staffs where they'll divvy up the entire roster for specialty work. And it's sort of like in football where you have the positional rooms. There are some ways to say, look, these are your three guys. These are your three guys that you work with individually as sort of your contact point. Do we know their philosophy on that?
No, not exactly, because they haven't been put this position. We can only go on the former organizations they're at. Brett Brown was considered very much a dictator, very much hands-on with in-game and stuff like that, but delegated for, you know, every head coach delegates players out. I mean, that's just the way it is. I don't think you're going to find a philosophy amongst any of the head coaches where, hey, this assistant, you have Jimmy Butler, you have X, you have X, you have X. And this coach, you have X, you have X, you're good with developing big guys. Roy Rogers, you have Felicio, you have, you know, so that everyone is delegated out based on either their strength or who they're good at developing or who they have a good rapport with. So I don't think that changes from organization. And then if you trace it back, okay, Eversley coming from Philadelphia, what was Brett Brown? Well, he was, you know, a loud voice, carried a lot of weight, listened to assistants, but the final word was his word. Malone, kind of the same thing. I mean, you know, the kind of coach that, you know, wants the full attention, wants to, you know, Jim Boylan was a delegator. He delegated a lot of stuff out. In game, he would listen to guys, but he wanted more of the control. And then there's, I mean, Tibbs, everything is Tibbs. And you know, his assistants that he trusted, like a Ron Adams, had a voice, assistants that he necessarily didn't trust or, you know, didn't. So every coach is different. So you can't really say this is the kind of coach they want, this is the kind of structure they want, because they come from two different places and we've seen different coaches and different ways of doing things underneath and also they haven't had these positions yet. So maybe they've always wanted a coach that's done this and this, but didn't have to say. They didn't have to say over Elton Brand or a Conley. So that's kind of the wait and see of what kind of coach they want, what kind of staff they want to build out.
Joe, as always, we appreciate it. Continued good health to you and yours.
All right, you too, Dan. Take care, buddy.
That is Joe Cowley of the Chicago Sun-Times. That's strong stuff right there. And like I say, when you don't have to be the best detective in the world to put together some of these pieces of information to lead to what has to be an obvious conclusion here. And then it's just a matter of who's next and how that staff is constructed. If it is someone like Griffin or Udoka, who would be a first-time head coach, sometimes you'd have a little stronger structure behind somebody like that. You get somebody perhaps with head coaching experience who's sitting next to him. But I think Adrian Griffin is absolutely more than ready. And I hear so many nice things about him as a guy and just what players think of him and the amount of respect that players have because of, you know, the shape of the career that he had and what he had to do to make himself a viable NBA player. Classic story of a guy who just wasn't as gifted as others that had to work and work and work and work. And boy, we're seeing a lot of that, the whole work ethic stuff in The Last Dance. And I wrote about Scottie Pippen yesterday and what he said, and I might want to get into that a little bit as well. I also think you should hear from Scott Burrell, who joined Mully and Haw this morning, a guy who was the subject of some of Sunday night's programming, and just being the guy that Michael Jordan figured he had to try to get him into a fight, or he had to try to make him mad, or he had to try to motivate him and frankly haze him and bully him because he didn't think he was tough enough or mean enough or whatever it was. But Burrell was always a really nice, easygoing guy, and he hasn't stopped being that. And I think he took it all then in stride, and he's taking it all now in stride. So let's listen to him, maybe talk a little bit about confusing, contradictory stuff from Scottie Pippen as well. I'm Dan Bernstein on 9 to Noon. We are live and local on The Score.
Former 90s Chicago Bulls Scott Burrell talked Last Dance with Mully and Haw.
You think that there will be some people that this turns off to Michael Jordan, those tactics?
That's another great question. You guys are good today. You guys are really, really good today. I do think it turns off some people. He had to be that way because he knew he was the best. They weren't coming to beat the Bulls. They were coming to beat Jordan.
Hear the entire Scott Burrell interview with Mully and Haw at 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
This is Damon Amendolara with your Radio.com Sports Minute. Major League Baseball has a chance for a huge win. The owners have sent the players a proposal for an 82-game schedule, but they also want another salary reduction. The Players Association says that's a non-starter. Look, I think we all understand how stressful it would be to return for the players. I'm sure many are wondering about their safety and the safety of their families. But America's pastime still hasn't recovered from the 94 strike. And if we watch millionaires and billionaires grouse and grumble and battle over decimal points in the middle of high unemployment and a devastated economy, it's going to play really poorly to this country. This is a chance to recapture some of the stature the sport once had. Hopefully, they don't blow it. This is Damon Amendolara.
When you need professional building materials in a hurry, the Home Depot has your back. With a huge selection of pro-grade building materials from the brands you trust. Lumber, roofing, concrete, and insulation. No matter what you need, all you have to do is ask. You can even get job lot quantities of work materials sent right where you need them with job site delivery. Exactly what you need, when and where you need it. The best jobs start at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents, which means you're going to start telling your kids to clean up before the cleaning lady comes. Doesn't make sense, but you're the parent and they're the kids. You're going to start telling them that now too. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. And there's your opening to remind them who pays the bills around here. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Life has changed almost overnight.
Yeah, you have a lot of questions. We are going to try to get you some answers. I'm Mike Simpson.
And I'm Charles Feldman. Together, we host Coronavirus Daily, a podcast designed to help us all get through this crisis together.
We go around the world and talk to some of the top experts out there. So think of this as a guide for you and your family. Multiple ways to listen, radio.com, the radio.com app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
Remember, that's Coronavirus Daily.
To take this station with you wherever you go, download the radio.com app today and listen to this station and over 300 other stations. With the Radio.com app, you can favorite your top stations for easy access and receive alerts with breaking news, contest opportunities, and more. To favorite a station, just click on the heart icon in the upper left-hand corner of your favorite station's logo. Go to your app store or Radio.com/download and start listening today. Radio.com.
I had no tangible evidence that my dad killed anyone.
What April Bellaccio did have was a feeling.
Let me ask you, how many people do you know that have been murdered?
None.
Well, everywhere I went. People that we knew or associated with were being murdered, and my dad talked about it or got involved in it.
We try to make sense of April's past. The Clearing, from Pineapple Street Media, in association with Gimlet.
Listen to The Clearing now, for free, on the Radio.com app.
The backyard is back. A place to get a breath of fresh air and get together with the family. The Home Depot is here to help you create the backyard you've always wanted. With premium, low-maintenance composite decking and fencing from brands like Trex, Fiberon, TimberTech, and Veranda. And hundreds of other options to bring your backyard back to life this year. Order online and we're on it. The Home Depot. How doers get more done. U.S. only. Restrictions apply.
Switch to Sprint and get our best unlimited deal ever. Four lines of unlimited for just $100 a month. If that's not enough, we're throwing in four Samsung Galaxy phones on us. Shop from the comfort of your home at Sprint.com, call 800-SPRINT-1, or come see us in our stores.
Phone after 35.42 per month credit for 18 months credit. Apply within 2 bills. If canceled early, remaining balance due. Unlimited basic after 7/31/21. Pay $35 per month per line with auto pay. Data deprioritization during congestion. Coverage and offer not available everywhere. Excludes taxes, fees, and roaming. Speed maximums, use rules, $30 activation fee, and restrictions apply.
New York Times best-selling author Brené Brown has a brand new podcast, Unlocking Us, about the emotions and experiences that bring meaning and purpose to our lives.
Together, we can explore ideas, stories, experiences, books, films, music, anything that reflects the universal experiences of being human.
Brené Brown's Unlocking Us. Listen on radio.com by searching Unlocking on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
And I really cannot wait to have these conversations with you.
Zay Jackson, Chicago Bears, please do your part by washing hands, using hand sanitizer often, practicing social distancing, and very thankful for the ones who put themselves at risk. You guys are true heroes, and together we'll get through this crisis. Thank you.
The Score is helping Chicago stay connected. For more, go to radio.com/stayconnected.
Thanks for streaming The Score, Chicago Sports Radio 670.
The Dan Bernstein Show, weekdays 9 a.m. to noon.
Vincent Goodwill.
One thing I'll say about Michael Reinsdorf is this, and I firmly believe this. He has a famous last name, but is a pretty anonymous person throughout all of this. But he's very sensitive to the success of the franchise. I truly believe he wants to win. And I think he has a chance here to make a name for himself, to step outside of Jerry Reinsdorf's shadow while Jerry is still here and making the final decisions. That's a very tricky process. And I don't think that we can all appreciate the fine line that he has to walk, that he's trying to walk here. And making a decision like this means you have to have a bunch of people on board and behind you. And whether it works or not, I think just the fact that he's willing to go through a top-down overhauling of basketball operations says a lot about his desire to want to get this thing right.
Dan Bernstein, weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score, our radio.com sports station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Dan Bernstein with you on Sports Radio 670 The Score. And earlier this morning, Scott Burrell, the former Bull, was on with Mully and Haw. I always liked Scott. Everybody liked him. And I guess that was part of Michael Jordan's problem with him, that he didn't see that, I don't know, that eye of the tiger or that edge to him. It just, it really was never in his personality, regardless of what Jordan tried to do to feel he was responsible to beat him up, to toughen him up, to haze him, to bully him. He kind of just let it roll off his back, and it was portrayed in The Last Dance on Sunday, and I have told people at length about the David Vaughn stuff. You want to really talk about Jordan being mean. You want to talk about Jordan bullying somebody. The Burrell stuff was all lighthearted compared to what he did with David Vaughn. I mean, reducing him to tears or close to tears on multiple occasions. And he was only with the Bulls for 30 games. And Jordan was cruel to David Vaughn. And like we saw with the Wizards, like he was to Kwame Brown and some other guys in his tenure with the Wizards. And that was just his tactic of showing that really, really mean side of himself, because I guess he thought that could bring out the best in people instead of just making people unhappy and instead of just bullying them because there was that sadistic side to him. But Scott Burrell's been taking this all in stride, and he was on The Score earlier today and was asked by Mulligan Haugh if he's pleased with how he's being portrayed in The Last Dance.
I love it. I mean, it's reality. It's an honesty. It's someone trying to make me better. You can never fault or be angry about a person trying to make somebody better. It's the people on Twitter who are jealous and mad.
Scott, how long did it take you to appreciate maybe what those days were like for you and what it did for you? Or did you recognize that at the time? Because I imagine there were days where it felt like, boy, this was a rough one.
No, that's a great question. I think I appreciate it more after the season. I understood what he was doing, and it weighed on you every day. But after the season's over and you win the championship, and you realize, number one, you realize every day it wasn't that bad, but you realize why he was doing it. And, like, I play for some great coaches, great tough coaches, but to get pushed like that every day, it's just preparing you for life. It's preparing you what you're going to face in the future. And they've done this for 5 out of the last 7 years, 2 years in a row to win championships. So everybody else was used to it. It was just new to me.
Scott, when you think about that time period, did you ever want to, you know, take a swing at the guy? Did you ever come close to just falling off?
Well, there's many reasons why that didn't cross my mind. Number one, I enjoyed my time in Chicago. Number two, I wanted to stay in the NBA because I love my job. and three, it never got physical. I mean, trash talking is done every day, everywhere in the world. It's part of competition. But I know my limits of why would I talk junk to the man with the biggest pulpit? You know what I'm saying? You know, you're not going to win that battle. So just take it, learn from it, and live.
So, Scott, a lot of people watching this are walking down memory lane. It's been a lot of fun for Chicagoans and for basketball fans in general. But for people that don't remember the circumstances, how you ended up with the Bulls, it was the 97-98 season. You spent 1 year here, 80 games. You averaged 13.5 minutes per game. How did you end up here, and how much did Michael Jordan's presence have to do with that?
I got traded. I was traded for Dickie Simpkins from Golden State. And, you know, it's kind of an amazing thing because I was traded from the worst team in the league to the best team in the league. And I never knew – I mean, obviously you play against the Bulls, but then it's so different when you're practicing with the Bulls every day. How mentally focused, how tough they are, how meticulous they are. I mean, from stretching, you're in warm-ups and stretching, and you hear Tex Winters, 10 feet, whatever, it's 10 or 8 feet, because you want it spacing, because that's the spacing you need, the least that spacing in the offense. And it's amazing that every little thing that they pick on, you utilize it during the game, and it just prepares you for every day you play and your opponents down the road.
I read where you talked to your family. You had to prepare everybody around you for what was coming because you knew how it was going to be portrayed. You know, at one point, Jordan gives you a hard time about going out. I think, you know, young men are entitled to go out if they want to. Did you have to contact people, talk to people? Did you have to explain to your wife what life was like?
No. Now, number one, I just got married 4 years ago, and that was 22 years ago. So she was probably barely born since I'm so old. But no. Seriously, my wife now she was in high school when I was playing in the NBA. So I never even knew of her. I saw the video. I knew that part was coming because I seen that part of the video 8 years ago, whatever, 6 years ago. No, I just told, I showed my parents it. So, I mean, my parents don't care. I mean, they know. Number one, I've never been in trouble, and I'm a pretty good guy. Like Michael said, I'm a nice guy. So if a 27-year-old man goes out and has fun sometimes, there's nothing wrong with that. As long as I don't hurt anybody.
Scott, you were part of history, and those bonds are something that last a lifetime. How would you describe your relationship with Michael through the years and with people who were part of that Bulls organization and team that season?
My relationship with Michael is great. I mean, but I think it's better now than it was when I played. It's like, because, like, people are saying, like, for instance, when MJ had to call Phil for Steve Kerr's number, people think, like, we're in high school, like, everybody has each other's numbers. You don't have guys' numbers that much, except maybe a core group of guys you hang out with. But people have families. And once you leave that gym, you're with your family or your other friends, because you're with each other for so long on the plane, practice. You don't really communicate that much, that often, besides on the court. But I think my relationship with Michael Jordan is great now. I text him a lot. He texts back every second as soon as I text him. If I go to Florida, I'll call him. We play golf. It's pretty good. And to be honest, the relationships with all those guys on that team was strong. It was everybody was on the same page. I think that was the most team that had so much love for each other that I ever played on in college or the NBA. I mean, they competed for each other. And through all the tough times the NBA had, that team had through the front office, you could not see it when they stepped on the court.
It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We're talking to Scott Burrell about The Last Dance. And Scott, you know, obviously the last episode, or I guess the one before, they play two of them each night, was mm-hmm. about Michael going to baseball. Now, you mm-hmm. obviously were a first-round pick in the NBA. You were also drafted into MLB, and you contemplated a baseball career. You had a you were a pitcher, I believe. And,
yes.
You know, what do you make of him going to baseball? What was your thought when that unfolded? I know you weren't there at that point, but certainly it was a massive story around the country. You were a person that had the ability to actually do well in baseball and or the NBA, and you chose the NBA. What did you think when you saw Jordan trying to live out a childhood dream?
I thought it was awesome. I thought it was courageous of him, because obviously you're the best basketball player to ever play. Now you're trying to do something that you haven't done in 12 years or more, and you're going to have some failures. But he wasn't worried about that. He wasn't worried about pleasing others. He wanted to try to do something that was a childhood dream and that him and his father had. And it just, I think it's amazing what he did. I never knew he had a 13-game hitting streak, which is pretty impressive for not playing a game in 12 years. And also hitting .202. I mean, a lot of guys in Double-A are playing in big leagues that year or the next year. And to hit .202 was pretty good after not picking up a bat and even seeing pitches for that long.
How did?
But if he faced me, I would definitely put a fastball in his ribs the first pitch. but then I'll just strike him out after that. But the first pitch would be a fastball to ribs for payback.
Scott, how did your experiences taking what Michael dished out? How did that maybe influence or impact you as a coach when you are trying to get the most out of maybe a player who might be good-natured or maybe somebody who's trying to reach? Did it have any impact on the way that you coach players today?
Definitely, but you can't push them as hard as he pushed us, because times are different, kids are different. Kids don't want to be pushed that hard. They say they love the game, but kids don't really love the game. They love what comes with it. And I can't say, I'm not generalizing saying everyone, but for the most part, they love what comes with it. They love the fame. They love the attention. But if you love the game, you would play it without people organizing it for you. You'd be on the courts, the pavement, playing, and they don't do that anymore. But I do push my guys, because I want them to be the best, not just on the court. I want them to be successful in life, and life is not easy. And after your 4 years of college, the real world is going to be come and get you, and it bites you unless you're prepared for it. So I try to prepare them for the future, not just on the court.
Michael operated with a certain ruthlessness that I think everybody mm-hmm. that ever competed against him saw. Certainly, he wanted to win in practice as much as he wanted to win in games. He was very driven. Did he have to be? Would it have
yes.
worked as successfully? He did have to be. Okay.
No, I don't. I think he had. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I apologize.
Not at all.
I think he had to be. Yeah, he definitely had to be, because that's his mentality. That's what made him great. Not even just great. That's what put him above every other superstar and that's played this game. I mean, there's been great players, but then there's been the beast, MJ. because he has that mentality to destroy, embarrass. And like, just think about it, I even play with him. I didn't realize he was reading papers and stuff to find things that motivated him. I thought he was just reading the funny pages or something. But he needed something. He just needed a little something extra to, like, oh, okay. He looked at me wrong. Oh, he didn't say hi to me in the restaurant. Oh, this is what he said about me. How are they going to guard me? Like, and during these documentaries, I love when he goes to the tablet or whatever that thing is, iPad. Because anytime he goes to the tablet, iPad, something funny is coming out of his mouth. And lastly, lastly goes Gary Payton, the glove. Gary Payton.
That was great.
I would have my way with the Gary Payton. Hey, he's awesome. He's awesome.
So as you watch this, Scott, like the rest of us, every week you kind of anticipate it. Those 2 hours are great. What have you learned? Have you learned anything along the way that you didn't know, you know, when you were either as an NBA opponent of Michael Jordan's or his teammate?
That's a good, very good question, too. And I'm not saying any other questions aren't good, but these are good questions. You see the intensity, you see it, the fierceness, but you saw the passion on his face when he broke down after seven. I think it was seven. You see the little things that motivate him. You see the intensity in everything he answers. Like, I know he was pretty intelligent, but the more I watch him, you're like, damn, this dude's pretty bright. And he delivers everything. I became a bigger Michael Jordan fan now, even though I loved Michael Jordan when I played with him and played against him and watched him. But you become a bigger fan now watching him, saying, damn, that was a tough man. Damn, he was a competitor. Damn, he was ruthless. He was fierce. I mean, that's all you want. That's what you want to see in an athlete. And you try to be, but now you realize I wasn't even close to him. You know, it's fun to watch.
There was a moment in that documentary where you have a couple of friends that have driven from Connecticut to Chicago, it looks like, and one guy's wheelchair bound, and they're waiting in the training room after Jordan does his media thing, and he walks in and he starts talking to them. And he treats them, you know, he's joking around about the Connecticut women's team, and he's grabbing the guy by the arm. He had this ability to sort of turn on his personality for people and give them exactly what they wanted. And he did that for you. Yeah.
Yeah. He knows how to do. You could put Michael in any field or any place, drop him any place, he'll fit in. Because he's well rounded and he understands people, he understands situations, but he's going to dominate the room no matter where he is. That's one thing, but in a good way and a bad way. But that's part of him. But like that situation where I brought my college roommate and his friend Joe, Steve Empt, and the funny thing, the guy in the wheelchair, Steve Empt, is the number one Paralympic player in America right now. He's and I forgot, what's the sport where you slide the thing on ice and you scrape it? What's it called? The sport, I forgot.
Curling.
In the Olympics.
Curling.
Curling, yeah. Curling. He's the number one curler in America right now for Paralympics. So, Steve, he was my college teammate, and they came up to drive, drove up to visit me. And it was an awesome thing to see him just be Michael, down-to-earth, great guy, and make him feel welcome. And it was awesome. And now those guys are getting blown up by radio stations. Everybody wants to talk to those guys.
Scott, before we let you go, one of the things I think comes out of this is you watch his drive and you watch the way that he pushed players like yourself and teammates. Do you think people come out of this having more of an affection and a respect for Michael Jordan, or do you think that there will be some people that this turns off them to Michael Jordan and those tactics?
That's another great question. You guys are good today. You guys are really, really good today. I do think it turns off some people, but are those people the ultimate competitor, the ultimate? Like, I was thinking about it. I said this to people, too. When people played the Chicago Bulls, they weren't saying, I need to beat Scottie Pippen. I need to beat Scott Burrell, Steve Kerr, Bill Wennington, Tony Kukoc. I'm kicking Michael Jordan's butt today. That's the only thing they thought about when they played Chicago. So he had to be that way because he knew he was the best. They weren't coming to beat the Bulls. They were coming to beat Jordan. So if we didn't do our part, he wouldn't have been as great. as great as he was. But so he needed people to do their jobs, as small as it may be or as big as it may be. But you had to be at your best to help him be at his best to beat those other teams, because he can't play 5-on-1. And that's what it was against them, because nobody wanted to beat the Bulls. They wanted to beat Michael Jordan when they played Chicago. I think most people will love him and say, wow, I appreciate what he did every day. Because in today's society, people don't give everything they have. And that man gave everything he had every time he stepped on the court to show people he was the best. And if you paid your money to go watch him play, he was going to put a show on for you.
Really good stuff from former Bull Scott Burrell, who is currently the head basketball coach at Southern Connecticut State University in New Haven. Really good, expansive stuff from him on what is being depicted in The Last Dance. And like he says, it's fact. What they're showing actually happened, and he's not shying away from any of it. That was with Mully and Haw earlier today. Coming up is the Midday Midway. I've got to eulogize a Chicago institution that was very important to me that now is no more. And we also have updates on some people that were introduced to you during the Midday Midway. One is a man named David Ostrom. That's the guy in Kansas who wanted trial by combat and wanted to engage in a legal sword fight with his ex-wife. Well, we've got a verdict back from the people who were determining his fitness for trial and or custody and whether or not he is sane or not sane. So take a guess on that. And we also have our guy who tried to steal the wine from the bottom of the moving tanker truck. He got in trouble again. Gabriel Moreno is back and up to things in Modesto. So we will do all of that on the Midday Midway. It is next on The Score.
This is 670 The Score, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station, period. Thanks for keeping us on top, Chicago.
This segment is brought to you by Lindholm Roofing. The Chicago Window Guy is open during these difficult times to handle all of your window and door needs. So make the call that I did. Call Russ Armstrong. He's the owner of Chicago Window Guys, and they make and install all their own products. He has his guys come out and do it. So during the process, he was on the phone with me. He was emailing me. Is everything okay? Is there anything I can do? Is there anything you need? How are my guys? And it was really the attention was just phenomenal. And that's how he is with all his customers. I couldn't be happier with the windows because they're tremendous. And Russ knows that times are tough. He's offering virtual appointments over the internet, over the phone. So call Chicago Window Guys today at 847-881-3060. And if you're not sure, here's the reason to do it. Because the first 10 callers that mention my name, Dan, get 10% off your order. That could add up to a lot, depending on how many windows you want. So call now and mention you heard it here, 847-881-3060. And check out his reviews at ChicagoWindowGuy.com.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Healthcare is very local. We know how it's actually being consumed in Illinois, in Chicago, in Evanston, in Springfield, in every single county. That deep knowledge helps us deliver greater value to all of our customers. My name is Steve Hammond, president of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois. We're deeply embedded in our communities and feel the obligation to continue to create new value and drive lower healthcare prices, greater access to coverage, and better health outcomes for all of our customers. We treat every interaction with our customer as something that is very deeply personal, and that's the major difference. We're not trying to get through that call to get another one. We want to engage with that member to find out exactly what issue we can help them resolve. We're a fabric of these communities. That's what sets us apart.
Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois, a division of Healthcare Service Corporation, a mutual legal reserve company.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
first half or the second half. You know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel.
The Midday Midway with Dan Bernstein on The Score.
We have reached the Midday Midway, and so far on the show, spent the first hour talking about baseball, just kind of stomping ahead with their plan to reopen. The owners have said, yes, we need to reopen. And now they're trying to convince the players that it's in their best interest to do it as well. And we tried to look at all sides of it, hearing from Bob Nightingale, who's Radio.com's MLB insider, playing the comments of Charlie Blackman, reading the thoughts of Sean Doolittle as well, and hearing again from Colin McHugh of the Boston Red Sox about the trepidation that some players may have in coming back. And just the fact that the science isn't there yet. They are doing this saying, well, we hope to have testing that doesn't stress out any of the labs or supplies anywhere else. But the fact is, you can't. And they haven't really come up with a reasonable way of explaining, of describing a situation that is going to be safe or low enough risk. But it's not going to stop them because it appears to be something they simply want to do. And it's optimism that's not really guided by science or medicine. And it's based in large part on the decisions made by states who are simply trying to force people back to work so they don't have to pay them unemployment. It's in large part cynical and in large part publicly unhealthy, but I guess, you know, we all miss baseball. Also talked to Joe Cowley, and he is reporting a situation with the Chicago Bulls that certainly makes it look like Jim Boylan's days as head coach are numbered, because players are telling the new management what they actually think of him. And for the most part, it is, according to Joe's sources, not good. Remember Gabriel Moreno? That's the guy who we talked about last week, and we played the sound from the CBS station that out in Modesto, near Sacramento, where he had actually climbed on, he flagged down and then climbed onto a tanker truck that was carrying wine, thousands of gallons of wine, and he was able to position himself underneath the valve of the truck. He was able to undo it and guzzled wine out of the bottom of this tanker truck on the highway while going at highway speeds on Highway 99. And he was eventually jailed and then released from jail, because what's going on now, they don't want people in jail, especially all but the most dangerous people. So there was a zero bail order. So he was released from jail. And then he got himself rearrested because he wanted a sandwich. So, this is, I want to thank everybody who sent me this. So, what happened was, he was released, and they said a lot of people are being released before reports are even written, but he was booked for felony vandalism and misdemeanor driving on a suspended license. So, he was quickly out of custody, and they say within moments, a sergeant noticed a large crowd in the parking lot of the Community Services Agency at 251 East Hackett Road. Police officers were trying to detain Moreno, who allegedly tried to steal a truck belonging to a landscaping company. An employee intervened, prevented Moreno from leaving the area, called 911. He was apparently distressed by his early release, and he was unhappy he didn't get a sandwich as part of the standard meal at the public safety center, and he tried to steal the truck as a way of getting a return visit to the jail where he hoped to finally enjoy his sandwich. But auto theft is also eligible for zero bail. So as of the next morning, he was back out. So things are looking up for Gabriel Moreno. A quick update. If you remember the name David Ostrom from this segment of Paola, Kansas, he's the man who sought legal permission in Iowa to engage in a sword fight with his ex-wife because he wanted what was described as trial by combat. He filed an official motion for trial by combat. Well, he has been evaluated regarding child custody. The psychological evaluation is back, and he is not insane. In his words, he says, I'm not crazy. I just don't like being denied access to my children. So an Iowa judge has responded by he ordered the evaluation because he temporarily suspended child visitation because he said in his filing that he wanted the sword fight so he could rend the souls from the bodies of his ex-wife and her attorney. But apparently, he has an adjustment disorder with mixed emotional features, whatever that means. So there has been no comment at this point, but he says he's not crazy. He still wants his sword fight, and he is pressing ahead. He's representing himself. He filed a second motion asking for parenting time with his children. He wants to be reimbursed his legal fees, so this is to be continued. Jerry's Grill has closed, and I'm legitimately bummed. Jerry's Grill was on the southeast corner of Montrose and Western Avenues, right at the corner of Wells Park. And ever since we moved here 15 years ago and have been involved for the last for however long with Wells Park baseball in one way or another, Jerry's Grill, it says ham off the bone was the big sign on the side. And it was really one of a dying breed of something that just didn't know what year it was. It was cash only. And it was filled with unique characters, a 24-hour diner of good homemade food. The best damn navy bean soup you ever had in your life. The soups, the chilies, all great. And with, you know, the utilitarian, heavy plastic cafeteria-style plates, the kind of stuff you'd get at, like, overnight camp or something like that. And the really thin flatware that they had, but wonderful breakfasts. They made their homemade sausage gravy, the white gravy, for their homemade, home-baked biscuits. And it was just a no-nonsense, incredibly inexpensive, wonderful diner, and it's gone. They had to close their doors after 57 years, and it really is going to be missed. It was anything and everything to everybody, whether it was the end of your drunken late night when you'd stumble in there and order the mop, which they called the mop. It was hash browns mixed with grilled onions, and that was all covered in a full order of sausage and gravy, which was then covered in this big, wonderful tangle of deep-fried strips of bologna on the top. That was the mop, and that was you'd go in there for that. There were some nights of high treason that would end there, or just times after a baseball game with my kid and, you know, celebrating a game-winning hit and going in and getting brunch or lunch there. And I loved it, and I'm really, really gonna miss it, because it's there's never gonna be any place quite like it. There are all sorts of snack shops around, and there are places in the neighborhoods that I'm sure I could find if I wanted, but because of where this was in a gentrifying neighborhood, to see the cast of characters that would be in there at any given time. So if you get the opportunity to pour out a blob of white gravy or some navy bean soup for the late and definitely lamented Jerry's Grill. I should mention that Grant Ockitz of Alinea, when asked his favorite restaurant in Chicago, said that. So we're in good company as far as liking that place. That is the Midday Midway. Coming up next, I always say, talk to doctors, listen to doctors, and only listen to people who listen to doctors. Well, we're going to listen to a doctor next. Dr. Benjamin Singer of Northwestern Medical School is going to join us next. So we're going to vet some of these sports plans and talk about what's safe for them to do and get an update on things and what's safe for us to do. He's a really good guest and a brilliant guy, so he's going to join us next on The Score.
Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to 2 on The Score.
Bill Melton.
Herm Schneider's the one that really told me, says, Bill, Michael Jordan's going to be coming in here and put him in a position, you know, set up in the box. And then I saw him live batting practice, told him, Jess, you understand, I'm from California, so I'm a Lakers fan. Well, that set everything off where we had a lot of fun. Say this thing about MJ. Every day there, he's punctual, he was there, ready to go, and really wanted to do this.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com on radio.com sports station.
The backyard is back. A place to get a breath of fresh air and get together with the family. The Home Depot is here to help you create the backyard you've always wanted.
with premium, low-maintenance composite decking and fencing from brands like Trex, Fiberon, TimberTech, and Veranda, and hundreds of other options to bring your backyard back to life this year. Order online, and we're on it. The Home Depot. How doers get more done. U.S. only. Restrictions apply.
And now a game of Commercial Chicken, brought to you by Progressive, where we see how long Flo can go without talking about insurance. Ready? Go.
So the weather is just all over the place lately, right? One day it's hot, and the next day it's windy for a while. It's like, make up your mind already. Drivers who switch to Progressive can save big.
Okay, you win. We can't help but save customers money. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and